This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
He is the man of our country and a man who our country really needs and needs badly to ensure the rule of law and the rule of justice.
With a bit of glitz and full network primetime coverage and a greatly anticipated announcement, President Donald Trump displayed his mastery of the television presidency and his own signature pageantry in announcing 49-year-old federal appeals court judge Neil Gorsuch as his nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court Tuesday night. With his wife standing close by, a proud Gorsuch was a polished winner of a guessing contest that had gone on for weeks in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere.
I pledge that if I am confirmed, I will do all my powers permit to be a faithful servant of the Constitution and laws of this great country.
If confirmed, Justice Gorsuch would restore the 4-4 conservative-liberal split in the court with Justice Anthony Kennedy, the mystery man swing vote. But Democrats retained some bitterness after Republicans refused to even set hearings for President Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland. Scalia died, you'll recall, last February, nearly a year ago. They may put up a tough fight for Gorsuch just to save face, which confuses matters for all of us regular old American citizens wondering if the court is capable of shielding itself from politics anymore. Eric Citrin, partner at Goldstein & Russell, former clerk to Justices O'Connor and Kagan, is a guest contributor to the SCOTUS blog. Welcome, Eric.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
First of all, Neil Gorsuch has an absolutely, you know, supreme record, superlative reputation as a legal scholar. How do you assess him?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. He is, in many senses, a very conventional nominee for the Supreme Court in the sense of being a supremely qualified and very well thought of judge who has sterling academic and legal credentials. He was a Harvard Law School graduate, a scholar at Oxford, a senior official in the Bush administration, and is recognized as one of the very best writers on the federal bench, and someone who takes hearing the cases and the craft of being a judge extremely seriously. And so just from the standpoint of raw qualification, he is sort of obviously qualified. Exactly in the sense that, you know, someone like Merrick Garland was hugely qualified for the bench and not really debatable on that point.
How do you think Gorsuch fancies himself in a role on the court? Do you think he likes the idea of being the Scalia guy, or do you think he more wants to be a little bit of a cipher where he might actually take over the role of Anthony Kennedy and be a bit of a mystery, surprise people who have appointed him, that sort of thing?
It's very hard to say. In many respects, Judge Gorsuch is a very, very natural and close successor of Justice Scalia. Many of his judicial ideological commitments are very similar to textualism and originalism, an overwhelming conservative bent in general. Those things indicate that you could see him falling into the Scalia role. But I did just say he has one very different style point, which is that Justice Scalia loved to fight. You know, he would take the liberal clerks from other justices out for lunch and just, you know, say the most provocative thing he could to try to get everyone's blood up and have a fun conversation that way. Judge Gorsuch has the opposite instinct. I think it's much more conciliatory and respectful. And you could see that actually leading him to try to moderate views about some things in order to pick up other justices, to be more of a kind of a bridge builder. But he is very committed to his judicial philosophy points, and I think that that will make him more like Scalia and less like Kennedy in the sense of being somewhat predictable. You know, if a case pushes textualist buttons, you can just expect Judge Gorsuch to follow the text. If you're trying to, you know, enforce an unwritten aspect of constitutional law that doesn't have a strong basis in the Constitution, it's going to be really hard to convince him to do so. And he doesn't have the pragmatic instincts of a Justice Kennedy or a Justice Breyer on the other side, for example.
So imagining specific issues, is he likely to be strong on states' rights, which were many of the cases that related to Obamacare and some of the other cases that came before the court over the last 8 years? Is he going to be strong on issues that would relate to voting rights, for instance? Would he support a further change in the Voting Rights Act, et cetera?
It's very hard to say. I would say, you know, Justice Scalia And many other conservative justices have a strong commitment to the limited powers of the federal government under the Constitution. And I could see Judge Gorsuch following that model as well. You know, I would expect him to think that the powers of the federal government are textually limited because that's clear from the document. You know, the fight at the margins about how far they extend can be very different and personal as between different judges.
What about the EPA? Do you think the EPA is a special case? Do you think he views the EPA as an overreach?
Well, I don't think it's possible to think that, like, environmental protection in general is an overreach. There are some aspects of environmental protection jurisdiction where Justice Scalia and I think many other conservative justices think, look, this is just not an interstate issue. It's just a local issue. It's not really an appropriate thing for federal government intervention on. Judge Gorsuch also, unlike Justice Scalia, is somewhat skeptical of deference to the administrative state. That can mean that he would be more willing to push back on what EPA is doing, although Justice Scalia had been famously pushing back on a lot of EPA stuff under Obama.
There's also the fact that he's from the West. I mean, that may relate as well.
That's right. And what I would say is I think most likely what you'll see is that he will not be rolling over for an administration one way or the other. I would think more than anything else, he'll think of himself as a rule of law judge. And that can be a very good thing either way.
Eric Citron is a partner at Goldstein & Russell, former clerk to Justices O'Connor and Kagan, and a guest contributor to SCOTUS blog. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
We turn now to someone who knows Justice Gorsuch. Jamil Jaffer clerked for him. He's a director of the Homeland and National Security Law Program at the Scalia Law School of George Mason University, and he's a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution. A big day for Neil Gorsuch. Do you think he faces an uphill battle, that he is up to the task of winning over those folks who are going to be probably pretty bitter over the fact that Obama's pick wasn't subject to confirmation? And, you know, this is a political fight before we even get started on legal theory.
Sure. Look, you know, I think you're absolutely right to say that, you know, there's a lot of people upset about the whole Merrick Garland situation. But here's the thing about Neil Gorsuch. He is a very smart guy, but also a kind and caring man. And I think that will come across, you know, to the senators, the folks he talks to. He's very genuine. You know, he's the kind of guy that you want to have a beer with, you know, go fly fishing with, and which is something he does. And so I think he's going to be able to convince a lot of people that, you know, he's not an extreme judge. To the contrary, he's a conservative judge, to be sure, but in the mainstream of conservatives. And that's all right, because you're going to get a conservative judge from Donald Trump. And so you ought to give him an up or down vote. And, you know, vote your conscience. But, you know, Neil Gorsuch, he's a smart guy. He deserves a job.
Where does he stand, or where is he likely to stand on some of the big issues before the court that, you know, get so much play at these confirmation hearings? Roe v. Wade, states' rights, I guess environmental law. And the role of the EPA now is a big one. Where do you think he's going to go as far as that's concerned?
You know, Neil Gorsuch is not the kind of guy who looks at the outcome of the case and says, I got to get to this result, right? To the contrary, what he does is he looks at the law and says, what has Congress done here? What has the executive branch done here? What is the people who the Constitution assigns the role of signing these laws, what have they done? And if it's the Constitution, what do the framers do here? And so he's not looking for a policy result. In fact, as he said last night, you know, a judge who likes the outcome in every case he decides is probably not a very good judge, and he actually means that. So if you look at his opinions, there are a lot of cases where he's had a very liberal, quote-unquote, liberal outcome. There are cases where he's had a very, quote-unquote, conservative outcome, because it's not about the outcome for him. It's about getting the law right.
The court has said to Congress in a lot of decisions and even in some dissents, Congress needs to do more of its job. It needs to make law as opposed to coming to the court, or the country coming to the court to decide things that Congress is too politically averse to actually taking up. What do you think Neil Gorsuch thinks about that?
I think that it's critically important that Congress does its job, that it not over-delegate to the executive branch, and that it not leave the decision to the courts. You know, all too often today, you know, people want to get their policy preferences into the law through the courts, and that's not the way to do it. It's not the way our framers envision it. They envision a system by which you go to your elected officials in Congress, in the House and the Senate, and you talk to the president, you vote with your feet, and you vote with your vote. not you vote with your, you know, pen in the litigation. And so, you know, we got to get judges out of the job of being politicians and let them just be judges. And when that cuts all the more true for justice of the Supreme Court. And I think that's, you know, if I were a predictor, I think that's how Justice Gorsuch, if he was confirmed, would think about these issues.
Jamil Jaffer was a clerk for Neil Gorsuch. He's director of the Homeland and National Security Law Program at the Scalia Law School of George Mason University.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.